the church into. So in other words, the intent and the context and the scope of the prophetic ministry is now broadened out into the global context or the global arena. So I felt that I needed first to say that to us this afternoon, because many people, when they hear prophet, they think, okay, we are going to now relate to each one of us a prophecy. And if God tells me that today, I will do that. But more than that, I will relate to you from the Logos. As I have heard and tested these words, I will relate to you a lot of things that I believe God is saying to us. And so it's very important that we understand that dynamic this afternoon. Now, God often gives us historical templates which relates to the conditions that are currently existing within the earth. When I talk about an historical template, I mean that God would take us right back into the Old Testament sometimes, and out of it we will extract principles that are very important and imperative for a time in which we live. We believe that the whole of the Bible, all of Scripture, is very important. Even though the book of Galatians says that Paul says that the law was just a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So we know that everything pertaining to the Scriptures is Christocentric, or wants to relate to us Christ. And so we believe in the doctrine of Christ, and we want to extract out from the biblical text, we want to extract the principles relating Christ to us in the situations of the earth in which we are finding ourselves currently. So we will draw today essential truth out of many biblical stories that I will relate to you, or biblical figures that I will relate to you, and how those principles are important for us in the day in which we live. So we will export the principles out of the stories of the Bible. And now the Bible, I believe, is a family album, if I can put it that way, in which we find all the relevant understandings about the family of God. Some of our family members lived way before us, and most of their words were now canonized within the text of Scripture. And I believe that our words now don't carry that authority that it will be canonized within the Bible. But we know that we extract information and we can speak it authentically in the day in which we live. So I talk about the Bible as being the family album. And the family album, meaning that the Bible is a book of the generations. And we can find in the Scriptures our generation, because all of Scripture relates to us, everything about those that are standing in Christ, and we can find relevant information within the Bible concerning ourselves. That is what you can go and read in Psalm 139, where the Bible says that there it talks about the book that has been written before any of the things came to be. And so the Bible brings us broad and vast provisions. So we are not concerned so much, first of all, about the text of Scripture, but about the breath of the Spirit within the text. And that relates to us the Word of God. Yes, the Bible, Jesus said once, he said that you Pharisees, you are studying the Scriptures, thinking that in them you will find eternal life, but you wouldn't want to come to me, of whom the Scriptures testify. So we want to relate the life of the Scriptures to us, relevant in Christ, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So I will speak prophetically, and hope that I would be able to relate to you a few things that the Lord has shown me. And so we will survey certain of our family members today that showed us how to live through crisis moments. For instance, if you take Joseph lived through a crisis, and he brings to us economic principles in times of instability. If you study Noah, you will also see that Noah was in a time of crisis, and how he relates to us principles of how to build being in crisis. And then if you study Daniel was also in a crisis because he was led into Babylonian captivity, and there was a crisis for Daniel. But he helps us to understand how God wants to bring forth political principles that we need to understand within the season in which we find ourselves, because Daniel was a statesman. And then you have a guy like Isaac, I'm just relating a few to us, that remained faithful to divine principle even when the earth's environment dictated differently. In a time of great famine and drought, he was directed by the Spirit how to get water even in drought. So all of these characters that I've just spoken to you about operated in crisis. And so today I will extract out of some of their lives principles, which I believe God is speaking to us in the day in which we find ourselves. But before we get there, I just want to give an overview of where we are globally. And out of that global context, then I would like to speak to us some relevant things that pertains to us here. Now, the years ahead will be years of great fracture and brokenness and competition and crisis within the nations. I think that COVID-19 has kicked off the season of crisis that the church will have to maneuver through. And Jesus said it to us in Matthew 24, that the end times that was literally fulfilled in AD 70 speaks to us prophetically also of our day, that there will be great crisis moments in the earth, and it's the beginning of sorrows. And I believe that crisis moments will increase in the earth, but the increase thereof is not supposed to cause us to hyperventilate. When Jesus speaks in Matthew 24, he gives the context or the contextual environment within which an end time people must exist. He's not trying to relate to us principles of fear that we now should cringe and don't know what to do. I believe that the truest expression of prophetic intent is never to lead the church to hyperventilate, but it's to lead the church into a spirit of triumph, into a spirit of internal certainty, into a spirit in which the church have a sense of great awareness that God is busy helping us to come to the fullest extent of our identity. So true prophecy never leaves the church to hyperventilate, but helps the church to come into a spirit of triumph within the crisis moments of the nations. So that for me is very, very important, because we have a lot of prophets right now that connect the heart of the church to only the crisis, but never brings the church to exude the principles of confidence within the state of the nations. I believe that when true prophecy comes, it helps us to have an upward view, helps us to see the one that sits upon the throne, and that our confidence is not drawn from our environment and the context within which we live, but it is drawn from the one that sits upon the throne. and the prophetic intent that he has given us within the scriptures through many prophetic agencies over the many years. And so it's vitally important that we understand these fundamental foundations before I relate to you some prophetic things here today. So basically what I'm doing here, I'm trying to sculpture a foundation or a context or a basis out of which I'm going to talk to you today. And in the true apostolic houses, we will see the emergence of a more integrated family structure that will lower the boundaries of our individual ministries, and the hearts of sons will now be incorporated into corporate oneness. We will see the emergence of the apostolate. Write that down. That's vitally important. The apostolate, as it existed in the book of Acts, when apostolic men and prophetic men with elders joined together to sculpture the doctrinal intent of God for the church in the book of Acts. I believe that we are maneuvering in the earth into that place where not just many sons in covenantal relationship that relates to a singular fathering source, apostolic fathering source, come together, but that even apostolic sources will also now converge across the nations, where they will relate to one another on the platform of doctrine, and they are going to bring their doctrine to one another for clarification, for purification, and before they will begin to speak in the platforms God will give them. So watch for this, that there will be a coming together of apostles, true, certified, authentic apostles in the earth that has got vast influence over vast domains within the nations. And God will bring these individuals together. He's going to bring them together, not because they just know one another, but he's going to bring them supernaturally together, because God needs to again have apostolic companies in the earth wherein which the apostolicity of Christ must be the mandated issue for the seasons. When we talk about apostolicity, we talk about a church going back to the place of originality in Christ, where we draw the veritable truth out from Christ-centeredness, where the church go back to being credible, original, where the church goes back to the place of authenticity, where we relate all of us to the most important apostle, who is Christ himself, like Hebrews chapter 3 talks to us about, and how ye then would stand in representative apostles in the earth and representative apostolic houses in the earth to relate into the earth the principles of the eternal. So I'm saying a lot of things here, but I want you to make notes, and because I'm laying a foundation for the stuff that I believe I need to say to you here today. So the apostolate is the place where multiple apostolic fathers will connect and interrelate, exchange doctrinal positions, and form a covering mantle for multiple geographical jurisdictions mandated by the Lord Jesus Christ. The voices, listen to this very carefully, the voices of a previous order of leadership will now be muted. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that in that day, prior to his coming again, that the sun will not give off its light, the moon will not give off its light, and the stars of heaven will fall. Meaning, when we talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars, they reflect to us symbolically the principles of illumination, which are the luminaries of heaven. You can find that when you go right back to Genesis chapter 1 and you go read right from verse 12 up to verse 14, that the Bible says that God now created two major lights, the sun to give light in the day and the moon to give light in the night, and he also created the stars. So these luminaries, the principle of these lights, were to govern the day and to govern the night, but also to give indication of the seasons. So when we talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars that will be darkened, we are talking in our context about those leaders that the Lord once lifted up in a previous kairos or a previous season of his workings in the earth that now has come to an end. That doesn't mean that God hates them. It doesn't mean that God has no longer work for them to do. But it simply means that when God begins to relate into the earth a new directive, that there will come a new phase in the journey that I will want to unfold to you here today. I believe that we are coming into the third phase within an apostolic kairos. And I will talk a little bit about that later. But every time when God shifts his purposes in the earth, God needs a new leadership that can vibrate on the frequency of the new law or the new message or the new constituted events that God will now reveal into the earth, that you need a new leadership that will vibrate on that frequency and become the duly elected representatives that will now unfold that new kairos into the earth. Those leaders that do not migrate with the purposes of God into the next phase of the journey, their lights will be darkened. If they are not going to allow God to stand in them in a representative way, then their influence, their leadership, their ability to illuminate the church in a doctrinal way will now be muted by the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know in the nations where you are, but in South Africa, we have found now recently that so many, many leaders from the previous season of the charismatic has lost their lives. I just heard yesterday about a great man of God. I don't know, Randolph, if you have known Alfie Fabe. They used to call him Papa Fabe from Cape Town. He has also just died. And he had a huge network. He was an apostle in his own right. He had a huge network of apostolic people. And there were many others that now, it's almost like the Lord is recalling certain men that has led the church over a long period of time. But now God is going to cause a new level of leaders to come up in the earth. They have been hidden for most of the previous season. Many of these leaders are now going to be showcased by the Lord. It's like Paul says in Romans that God said in the day of Elijah, I have 7,000 that has not yet bowed the knee to Baal. So in other words, God always have leaders ready that he has handpicked and that he has trained in the crucible of suffering and hiddenness and not being known. But now I believe God is getting ready. But I feel that we are still going to be for a while in COVID-19. That we are not yet gonna emerge out of this time, as the Lord is going to set into place the leaders that he wants now to propagate the new season. It's then imperative for us that we must make ourselves compliant with the Lord in the time of lockdown. Why is there a lockdown? I believe lockdown has been given by the Lord. And many people might say, yeah, but it's this and that. Yes, let us not look at the virus, but let us look at a deeper reality. I believe that we always need to go to the root of the issue. We gotta go, like I always talk about, the iceberg principle. An iceberg reveals to us a little bit of snow of the mountain on the external, that brings external evidence of the reality of the mountain. But when you dive beneath the ice cap, you will find a mountain of ice that undergirds that which can be seen. So Paul puts it this way. He says the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we want to drive the mechanisms of the unseen things. We want to go into the mind of God and not study the context of our environments, because we can't be informed by the contextual realities of our nations or our geographical areas, but we need to be informed by the doctrine of Christ that God wants to give us in a day of change. And so it's then important that we know how to scale the mountain of the Lord and go, as it were, into the mind of God, into the mind of deity, to extract from the Lord the issues that are relevant to the season in which we find ourselves. We cannot operate by the controversies that is out there pertaining to the virus, but we need to operate only on the principles of the kingdom. We need to extract the information from the mind of God, and we need to allow that information to govern our interactions within the earth. So it means we need to take a dive beneath what is existing externally within the context of our environments, and we need to go beneath what is seen and go into the invisible reality of Christ. Because the Bible says that the things that are eternal are the invisible reality. And that's where we posture ourselves as the company of people. We posture ourselves in the eternality of Christ. And out of that eternal dimension, we want to extract the doctrine that will inform our corporate behavior within a day of crisis. Guys, do we understand so far? Am I going too fast? You got to tell me, Randall. So I don't want to lose us here today, because I'm trying to lay a foundation, right? To sculpture the way that I, Sean, as a prophet, works in the earth today. So I'm working very differently, and I don't believe that this type of prophetic has been seen in the earth yet. But I believe that God is going to begin to release even this type of prophetic people right now. And it's going to be very different because these are building prophets. They are not just those that proclaim a word, but they know how to build the effective designs with apostles, because that is how Christ is formed as the foundation upon which the church is built. Like Ephesians chapter 2 says, that the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And Paul says there can be no other foundation but the one that is already laid, who is Christ. So apostles and prophets are not the foundation. They lay the foundation through their proclamations in the minds and in the hearts of God's people. So apostles or apostolic men wants to build reflexively into the mind so that the mind is the mind of Christ. But prophets want to build into the heart to bring the reality of the heart of God back into the functionality of the church. So those are the two tablets of stone that the new covenant speaks about. He says that God will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that he made with their forefathers. The covenant with the forefathers were written on tablets of stone. But the two tablets of stone in the new covenant is the minds and the hearts of God's people. So foundational ministries builds into the mind, the apostles, and the prophets build into the heart. So that now the doctrine or the law of God is standing erect within a people, within the minds of the people and in the hearts of the people. So that your government is no longer external to you, but you are governed from the inside out. So the highest form of government becomes self-government because the law of God has now been inscribed in human minds and human hearts as apostolic figures and prophetic figures have built upon the fundamental foundation, and they have laid Christ as the foundation in human minds and human hearts. Are you still with me, guys? So I'm saying a whole lot of things here. I have not yet gone into what I want to say. I'm just laying a foundation for what we need to do here today. It's very, very important that we understand this. And so I want to say this, that the global church exists in 2020 in a very different context than at any other time in the history of the church. Externally, the nations of the earth are beset with crisis, fear and destabilization, a reality that will worsen and intensify as we move towards God's ultimate point of culmination. We need to take Jesus into practical understanding when he prophesied in Matthew's Gospel 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, when he spoke about the end times. And we know that historically, much of what he said was fulfilled in AD 70. But I do believe that God's word carries a prophetic intent for our generation, because the word of God is not suffering decay, but the word of God operates in a cycle of reality. So what was will be. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10, you can write that down and you can go and read it there later. It just says, what was will be. What have been done will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. So in other words, the things that were will be. In other words, it's a cycle of reality. So God has historically fulfilled Matthew 24 in AD 70. But I believe that when we extract out of those scriptures the reality for our day, that those things can revisit our days in which we are living. So don't just say, that has happened. So we can tear that page out of the Bible because it will never happen again. No, I can show you many, many paradigms and templates of scripture that is recurring in our day, recurring in our day. And so we are not going to have the same story or the same events happening exactly like it happened in their day, but we are extracting out from the story. We are extracting the eternal principles. And that is what we make ourselves compliant with. Are you guys still with me? Just wave with your hand. I don't want to miss you. Okay. So I'm saying that Jesus was prophesying that there will be difficulty in the end times. Difficulty does not mean that we are going to hyperventilate, as I said. Because the final place into which the church is going to thrust into will be the crisis moments of the earth. It is within the crises of the earth where the true church will have to make its final stands. Because the church, Jesus said, is coming back for a glorious church. A church without wrinkle and spot. So it means that the final dimension wherein we will have to make our stance is not hiding away in the caves and building monasteries in which we don't want to interact the environment within which we find ourselves. But as I will relate to you later on, you will see that the next phase of the journey will not be temple building, but it will be city building, and it will be in a broader context where the church will have to leave the building and will have to go into our environment. And we will have to engage the environment in a very proactive manner. So that's what I'm seeing the church is going toward. We have had a phase in which we were building church, where we had temple building apostles like in the day of Zerubbabel. He came first out of Babylonian captivity with a few of the remnant. And his ministry was projected toward the temple, relaying the foundations, built the temple to sustain life and bring the patterns of reality for the church back. And we have found those apostles about 30, 35 years ago when God began to speak again about the apostolic. We saw that type of apostles coming back into the earth. Then a second dimension was released under Ezra. So we had the teaching apostles. And I believe that what I'm saying here is that we, as long as the church exists in the earth, these types will always be there. It's not that they will be done away with, because there's always going to be taken out of the environment raw material that must be built into the temple. So we will always extract out of society building material that must be built into the temple. So these apostles will continue to build the temple. But what I'm relating to you is that that phase of building has come to an end. And now we are shifting into the phase of Nehemiah. And later on we will talk a little bit about Nehemiah, which is more broader, where he begins to build the walls of the city and the gates of the city. And the walls depict apostolic functionality, and the gates depict to us the office of the elder and fathering within a local household. So that the walls bring protection and brings immunity into the city of God, which is the church of the living God. And so we are going to see apostles and elders working together that will bring immunity again over vast territories of the church globally. So I don't want to talk about that right now, but I want you to just to listen to where I'm going. So the events of the earth are assaulting the political and economic and social structures with perplexing problems and intense crises. We can see it all around us in all of our nations. And in the midst of upheaval and uncertainty, our lives must become more clear. Clarity is one of the words that you need to jot down. God wants internal certainty and external clarity. We got to bring clarity to the earth because of the design within which we stand. A more clear and emphatic, our lives must become more clear and emphatic, and we must embrace our responsibility to build a powerful church that will thrive in the midst of the increasing pulsations of crisis that will appear upon the earth. The end time environment will be a belligerent environment, will be an oppositional environment, will be an environment of great resistance for the church. And within that context, the church will have to know how to build and how to stand. And I want to unfold that for us today a little bit more. So the apostolic has been powerfully impacting churches and reforming systems over about roughly 20 to 30 years. And we have seen the emergence of a people who are coded for obedience and commitment to correct building. Unfortunately, the template seems to be the same like in the time of Nehemiah, Ezra, and Zerubbabel. It seems to be exactly the same. They say about roughly 2 million Jews went into Babylonian captivity and under Nebuchadnezzar. And when Cyrus began to decree the first time for their release to go and rebuild the temple, only about with Cyrus's decree and the release of Nehemiah under Artaxerxes and the release of Ezra, all together, there were only about 50,000 people roughly that came out to go and rebuild. I mean, that's about 2% of the entire group that went into captivity. Now, Babylon for me, Bab-El, Babylon, the word Bab is gate and El is God, small g. So when we talk about Babylon, we talk about the gate of gods. In other words, it's an interface through which Satan finds expression. Or we know that demonic things cannot work without embodying a people. Spirit cannot find validity in the earth without it embodies flesh. So we know that satanic systems are also operating seamlessly together with true systems that we seem to want to build back. So about 50,000, we call them the remnant. They went back and to rebuild what was lost. And I call denominationalism, I call that the spirit of confusion that has reigned for so long over the Church of Jesus Christ. Denominations, the word denominate means to denominate the nation, to take the whole and to break it up into little pockets to constitute the whole. And so denominationalism was a means by which Satan swayed authority over the corporate identity of the church. And so fragmentations developed within the body of Christ. There was a fragmenting away from one another through relational building. And so there were gaps within the gates and gaps within the walls. And so it meant then that these fragmentations within the body of Christ needed to be breached again. But it could only be breached by a people that were willing to stake their lives upon it, to go and say, we are answering you, God, to go back to build. And roughly about 30 years ago, the first people came out of the denominations. And they then said, no, we want to rebuild the temple. We want to rebuild the temple. And I believe we have seen many more came out over many years. And I believe there will be a final coming out in the next phase into which we are going to go to build a final stage of what God wants in the earth. Still with me, guys? Come on, I'm just asking, are you still with me? Okay. Now, the principles of Passover became the focal imperative for correct relational alignment for the entire earth when COVID-19 struck. God pushes his eternal purposes through a cycle of seven feasts. You see it in natural Israel. Natural Israel was an agrarian country, was an agricultural country. And so we see seven feast days in the history of natural Israel. But so also we find seven feasts within the spiritual reality of the church. All these feasts were fulfilled in Christ. But every time when God wants to kickstart something when God wants to bring something again to its point of conclusion and to bring something fresh back into the earth, he always brings the principles of Passover back that we must first activate in our corporate journey to the next level. Passover is the feast of closure. It closes and shuts down a previous order. It's also the feast of shutting off a previous order of things. It's also the feast of immunity. It's also the feast of journeying. It's the feast of forward movement progression. It is the feast of preservation of posterity. In other words, that feast, Passover, is the feast of preserving posterity. Why am I saying that? Because it was in that feast that the firstborn was preserved. The preservation of posterity. So the first feast of Passover is also the feast of mobility, the feast of journeying, when the journey starts again. But it's also the feast of closure. With that feast were two other feasts. We had the feast of unleavened bread, and we had the feast of the waving of the sheaf of the first fruit. And I believe that we have now entered literally in the second phase of that feast, which is unleavened bread. Unleavened bread speaks about detoxification, where God detox the body of Christ, where we come into four fundamental things that we need to uphold. We need to come into a place of consecration, renewed consecration, where we come into a place of renewed separation, where we come into a place of renewed dedication. We come into a place of renewed presentation of our lives and everything that we are to God unreservedly. Four fundamentals: consecration, separation, dedication, and presentation of everything that we are. So I believe that when we look at us being locked down, it means that if you look at lockdown in the natural, what is it in the natural that COVID-19 tells us? That we must social distance. Social distance means that we must separate ourselves, but unto God. But COVID-19 also shows us that we must consistently cleanse ourselves. Wash our hands. Make sure that we don't get contaminated wearing masks. And the breath that we are breathing out spiritually has got to do with prayer. Breathing in has got to do with the activity of the spirit, so that my spiritual lungs are now again fortified. But I breathe out through prayer. I breathe in through relationship. I breathe in through relationship, but I breathe out through prayer. So it means that we need to make sure that we are not contaminated in our breathing. I want you to see the close connection of what God is showing us through COVID-19. And those four fundamentals are very important in this hour. Now, so Passover is God's imperative to move into God's order of things. God's order of things. So a previous order of rule and governance is being shut down as the luminaries and the leadership of the charismatic season is now being muted. Muted. God gave the charismatic leaders over 40 years to conform to the current apostolic. And some leaders never ever wanted to conform. They rejected it outright. So now God is muting that leadership. He's causing their light no longer to shine. He's muting it like he did in the day of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. If you can remember, that he didn't believe the angel and that the name of the boy was supposed to be called John. He didn't believe in the naming order of the eternal. And so the angel made him mute. He was struck mute until he could come to an understanding and a resolution that what the angel have shown me is truly from God. And only then, when he could come to an agreement that the new move in the earth will be John, and his name must be called John, only when Zechariah, as a leader in his day, came to a recognition that there's going to be a birthing of a new move, and it's going to be named by God himself, that the angel unplugged his mouth and he became part of the proponents that would now declare the work of God in the earth. I believe if leaders in the charismatic, they are not going to be muted by God if they are willing to learn from those that God is now raising in the earth. There's going to come a new group of leaders that we are going to see emerge in the earth globally, where former fathers will say, no, but how can I listen to this man? He used to be my son in a previous order. How can I listen to him? But God has fashioned, formed that son into a reality of understanding where the next phase is going to be. Like a Joseph told his own father, Jacob, come near me. Come to Goshen. Bring all your flocks, everything, and come to a place called Goshen. Come near to me, Joseph. And even the patriarch had to listen to his son for his immunity and preservation. So I believe that's going to take place now in this season. Now, the firstborn of God is now being extracted from the womb of denominationalism and a previous church order which connected the Lord's people to entertainment, to crafty preaching, and a personality-driven church ethos will now be totally shut down. Listen to what I'm saying to you. That will be shut down. The current COVID-19 crisis is used by the Lord as a catalyst to bring judgment on all inaccurate systems, both secular and spiritual. It is then imperative that we know the current mood, agenda, and movements in the throne, and relay and relate it exactly and accurately to the earth. Those in the prophetic have sworn their allegiance to the throne and will not speak anything that contradicts or misrepresent. Father is in his current dealings with the earth, is now gathering apostolic men, gathering apostolic people, into clustering them together corporately in families. The true prophetic prediction should never leave the church, I said earlier, to hyperventilating in the earth, but should always lead us into a spirit of triumph and reassurance and deep internal certainty and confidence in God. I believe that what I'm sharing with you is bringing confidence to you, to know that we are on the right track, that we are not off track, but that we are here on track with what God wants. Now, God wants us to know and see what the time of the end holds for us. The time of the end holds for us. Now, the end can be imminent, but the end can be away from us. So, I'm not talking about the imminent position of things, but I'm talking about the end as God is going to unfold it now to the church. And in Isaiah chapter 2, I'm going to bring your mind to the scriptures now. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You can also go read it in Micah chapter 4. It says that God tells us conditions that will exist in the time of the end. Now I'm going to give you a few principles. Number one, the true apostolic church will be established, number one. Number two, will be exalted. And number three, will occupy a position on top. On top. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain or the kingdom of the Lord's house or temple will be established as chief or on top among the mountains. It will be raised or exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Stream to it. It's not a time to run away out of the church. It's the most glorious time for the church. We are going to see how this true church begin to arise in the earth into the very authority of sovereignty. It's not a time to hyperventilate. It's not a time to feel broken and uncertain. It is a time to come into the certainty of what God is saying to us. And it talks about that this church is like a mountain among other mountains. There are other mountains, but it will emerge onto the top of the mountains. And there are other hills of lower elevation, but the end time church will be exalted and will be established on the top of the mountains, of the systems. Mountains speak to me about governmental systems of reality. These scriptures are describing scenarios of things that will occur in the season in which we are living. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established and it shall be exalted. These words represent two imperative qualities and conditions that the church must emerge into before the purposes of the Lord can come to a point of conclusion. Because Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that the church of Jesus Christ will be a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. So we are expecting a church of glory, a church that knows how to emit the standards of the throne into the regions of the earth. Not a soft matriarchal church, a church that has got patriarchal strength, a church that knows how to invigorate the earth again with the systems of God's reality. So I'm here to encourage you today not to give up in the midst of the crisis, but to use the crisis as a springboard into the reality of what God is going to unfold in our day. The word established very quickly. I look up the many, many words here. It means in the Hebrew to be steadfast, steadfast, stable, secure, faithful, to be sure, to be reliable, directed accurately, morally made permanent with standards that do not slide. Absolute inward certainty, to be determined, arranged into an order that is settled and stable, provided for, furnished, fastened down. It also means to be erect and to stand perpendicular. All those words relate to us what God wants the end time church to emerge into. To be strong, resolute, perpendicular, standards not sliding, morally correct, righteous, just. And when we talk about these things, I'm talking about us into whom these things must be built. We are talking of elements of maturity and completeness. A church without defect or moral deficiencies. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about a church that comes into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That's the church I am seeing that God is going to emerge in the earth. A church without spot, without wrinkle, a glorious church. A church that has come to the fullness of the exact measure of the stature of Christ. Not everybody wants to come into these positions. But I believe you want to. I believe that you want to now emerge into this dimension where God wants to build you into this dimension. The last day church must be established on the top of the mountains. The word top there in the Hebrew is the word rosh. Rosh. This word means choicest, best, ranking ahead of things. It speaks about the beginning, the first, the chiefest place. Excellent, first, ruler, the highest. It speaks of ascendancy, superiority, ranking above. If you look at the church in its current state, you will not see these things. But I believe a remnant is readying itself to want to see that type of church come back into the earth. That's the church that was prevailing in the book of Acts. That I say to the Lord, don't take me now, God. I want to see that church emerge in the earth. If it's not a time to die, it's a time to live. It's a time to say, hey, God, we want to see this thing come forth through us building it with you. You want to see the church emerge as ranking above, having an ascendancy, superiority, and a ranking above of all things, because it's set above and on top of all the mountains. This church must be exalted. It means to be lifted up to a place of prominence, to be honorable, to be esteemed, to be lofty, and to be respected again among the nations. Right now, the church is not respected because of all the funny stuff we did in our entertainment zone. When we preach just nice messages, where we have our entertainment for God's people. But now God is breaking that down. And God is saying, I'm bringing a people of splendor into the earth. A people that will bring forth what I have always wanted. The question is, are we going to be part of that church? And then the second thing I want to relate to you. The first thing was that God wants to establish, exalt, and put it on top. Number two, a renewed empowerment of the global church. A renewed empowerment of the global church. Acts 2:17 says the following. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. We know historically that happened in the book of Acts. But I am expecting that such an outpouring, outburst will come again simply for the empowerment of the body of Christ. I literally believe that. I believe that we are going to enter into such a time. God's people being empowered for last day living. Having revelation and insight in the last days. The outpoured spirit upon God's people applies to the Christ resource that is producing in them a certain kind of people in the last days. Like Isaiah says in Isaiah 61 verse 3, when it talks about the anointing upon this people, it talks about trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his glory. Look at what he says. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. These people are called of the Lord. To be called means that God will assert his authority and sovereignty over such a people again by naming them. Naming them all so that their actions would line up and manifest his nature. It's not just anybody. It's a new type of people that God is longing to be seen in the earth. These people are the planting of the Lord, which infers stability, being established in the doctrine of Christ, to be firm and be immovable and to be resolute as a people. not being pushed over by every wind of doctrine and the craftiness of the enemy that comes in with every wind of doctrine and the scheming of men that wants to lead the body astray. These people will be for the display of his splendor or of his glory. There will be the recognition of the reputation and the esteem of the Father in such a people, through such a people. And the glory of God can again be seen in the nations. That is what the Bible says, that the knowledge of the glory of God must cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. God wants the glory, the esteem, the inward disposition of the very being of God, the ethical codes, the moral standards of God, the righteousness, the justice of God to stand in a people. Like Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and so glorify your Father who is in heaven. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. These people will be for the display of his splendor. The nations will hold such a people in high esteem. That is what Micah 4 says. That is what Isaiah 2 says. These people will cause the favorable opinion held within the mind of nation states regarding Father to become tangibly visible. Have we seen such a church yet? No, I believe that church will now emerge. It will now come forth. But it can only come forth when there is a people that are willing to pay the price. Are you willing? Come on, guys, I'm giving you the prophetic intent of God. Am I laborious? Or am I long-winded? I've only captured 4 of my pages and I've got 17 of them. Randolph. This means the recognition and esteem of Father in the mind of nations by them recognizing Father's moral and inward nature in a representative people. Now God is working on a representative people. We cannot leave lockdown the same. We can't leave lockdown. We can't use lockdown as a nice holiday of just reclining. It's a time of applying those 4 things. Consecrate, separate, dedicate, present. Make sure that every aspect of your life is in alignment with the design of the throne. My marriage is in order. My children are aligned. My finances is in order. My local house is in order. And I've brought all of these people to be connected to apostolic sources. So God is aligning his house. He's realigning his house under apostolic ministry. And so it's very important that we understand what God is doing. So the time of lockdown we should really use to get all our acts correct, that we make sure that we get rid of the things that work for against us and purify all our systems and bring them into alignment and make sure that everything that we stand for can now be used by the Lord to bring forth a people of splendor in the earth. Amen. The third thing I want to relate to you, the contextual environment for the end time church. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. We know this, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying his power. And from such people, Paul says, turn away. Can we see it in our nations? Can we see that list unfolding in our nations? This is the environmental context for an end-time church. That's the environment within which we will have to function. Things are not going to become rosy all of a sudden. It's going to become darker. That's what that is what Isaiah says. See darkness and thick darkness is upon the earth, but upon you my light is rising. So there are two conditions in the same earth. On some people darkness, on other people light. We must realize that not everything will go easy. There will be crisis times at the end, as the end unfolds. So God wants us to know. He gave us understanding thousands of years ago through his prophets that he raised up and spoke for him. And they told us that these are the kinds of conditions that you can expect in the last of the last days. And number four, I can't go too deeply into all of these things. I'm just relating little bits to you, right? Number four, opposition through the spirit of mocking. There will be a spirit of mocking that will be unleashed upon the apostolic houses. Every time you set out to build, the first spirit that seeks to oppose you and resist you is the spirit of mocking. You find it in 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers or mockers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Self-interest of the scoffer as they will be their primary motivation. The primary motivation of a scoffing people is self-preservation. In other words, what they are talking about is that the spirit of the orphan will stand in reality again, against the spirit of sonship. 2 Peter 3:4. And they, the scoffers, will say, they speak. It's like a Jezebelic spewing over the church. Where is the coming of promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes as it has since the beginning of creation. In other words, it's mocking the finish. It's mocking the end. Jesus said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. The apostolic doesn't just engage a process unending. It will have to bring everything to a point of conclusion. There must be a finish in view. And this spirit mocks the finish. So one strategy of the last day's satanic invasions is to convince people that it is not the last days. To tell them nothing is changing. As it was, so it is. Everything has been this way ever since the very beginning of time. Time has always continued in a cycle, they will say. Time is a cycle, the enemy says. But there is a terminal point. There is the coming of the Lord a second time. The finalization of the processes of God. Otherwise, we are just engaging a process without an end. When there is no point of finalization, we have entered into a wilderness. Any process without a finish is a wilderness. But I believe that we have the finish in view. We are not building just in a vacuum. We are building with a finish in view. We want to see him come back. We want to see the Lord Jesus Christ return bodily a second time. So we must maneuver the earth into that place of conformity. We got to get the body of Christ to a place to say we are maneuvering the church to a place of finish. Not everybody, even in the church, will want that because they only want church services. One in the morning, one in the evening. But we are not doing that. We are maneuvering the enemy. We are maneuvering the earth We're not entering into the cycles of earthly reality. Like John 4 says, Jesus says, do you not say, John chapter 4 verse 36, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? But I say to you, lift up your eyes and see that the harvest is already white unto harvest. In other words, until you take my opinion, until you say what I say, and until you lift your gaze into what I see, you will always engage the process. You will always live in postponement. You are never going to come to the finish of the cycle of production. You are always going to be caught in the cycles of earthly reality. But when you begin to say as I say, and when you begin to see what I see, says Jesus, then we can bring the finish into our present. That's a certain way an apostolic people must exist in the end time. Bring the cycles of earthly reality to a place of conclusion. We want to cause the events of the earth to now accelerate. The acceleration of the events of the earth is determined not by God sitting in heaven, but by His church in the earth that is now bringing those cycles into reality. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Remember, He said it's finished. He completed His work and now He's sitting in a place of rest. He is in a Sabbath. He's not going to work tomorrow for us. The only work that God will do is through His body in the earth. But if the body of Christ do not see it and understand it, then we are going to wait and wait and postpone, and our generation will die out and our children will have to finish it. But I'm saying to God, finish it with our generation. We want to complete it. We want to be compliant with the heavenly order. We are coming into the design of what you are saying, God. We want to activate the position toward the finish. We are tired, God, of this thing, of living in the tent of this body. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, while I'm in the tent of this body, I groan to be further clothed over with my heavenly dwelling. But as long as I'm in the tent of this body, I'm burdened. I don't want this dimension of life anymore. I want out, says Paul. I want to be further clothed over with my heavenly dwelling. But that's not going to happen until there is a church in the earth that comes to realize that God is no longer playing, but there must be a people that answer to what God wants in the earth now. I believe that the apostolic over 30 years have been invaded by the Samaritan spirit. That spirit that brings duplicity. That spirit that brings double-mindedness. That spirit that marries the world with the things of God. But now God is purifying an apostolic company that will come out of lockdown and say, God, here we are. We are now cleansed. We are pure, separated, dedicated, presented to you. And now you can work with us to bring your purposes to conclusion in the earth. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? So this is the prophetic stance that God wants the church to come into. Randall, you must tell me when I should end, right? I'm warming up. How much time? 5 minutes. 5 minutes?
Yeah.
5 minutes. Okay. So it's very important that we understand what the Lord is conveying to us here today as a group of people. And I believe that God can use you in your territories. God can use you in your jurisdictions to become the plumb line of this position, to stand perpendicular in your territory. Yes, there will be scoffing and there will be mocking and all the stuff that goes on against apostolic people. Every time you build, the mocking spirit is the first spirit that opposes you. It always mocks the finish. Has he got enough to finish? Has he considered the cost of what he's doing? Can they finish what they are saying? Can they really bring that thing to a place of conclusion? It's a voice that speaks. It's the voice of Jezebel speaks. And the speech, the demonic speech, is intended to cause spiritual abortion. That the work must stop, like in the day of Nehemiah. Stop the work because there was ridicule coming and mocking coming all the time. Okay. What is required as I stop? I'm going to give you four more things. What is required? Number one, a process, as we have said already, of separation, purification, dedication, and presentation that will make a deep incision between the true church and the false church. The false Babylonian church that is drunk with the wine of the harlot. The maddening wine of the harlot. The harlot church system that has sold herself to the world. There will, this separation is going to come through the purification that we are in right now. Number two, there must be functional apostolic and prophetic leadership that reforms and builds the church. A word that describes apostolic building is the words to strengthen, sterizo, to strengthen. Sterizo means whenever apostles build and prophets build, means to turn one resolutely into a certain direction, not looking back again. To render them constant, to secure and to stabilize the people. A process of becoming structurally correct so we can take pressure and not break. Acts 14:21 as a text for you. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. Effective, number three, there must be effective building prophets who work in concert with apostolic leadership to strengthen the people, to strengthen the remnant. Acts 15:32 says, now Judas and Silas themselves being prophets also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. We see in Acts 14:21 the apostle strengthening, and we see in Acts 15:32 the prophet strengthening. So they are doing the same work, but from different vantage points. And then lastly, as I end, there must be powerful kingdom sons who are unmoved during crisis, standing strong, walking through the crisis, and characteristics that will define such apostolically built sons are, number one, these sons will be strong, resolute, impervious, unbreakable, constant, secure, correct, aligned, courageous, certain, fearless. These are all the adjectives that describe such a generation of sons that God is busy building in the earth. Resolute, strong, impervious, unbreakable. The crisis cannot break their certainty in the mind of God. They understand that they have been called for a time such as this. And like Esther, whether we perish or not perish, we will see this thing through. That's why we combined our strength in apostolic companies like this under apostolic leadership. To have a formidable group within the territories of the earth that will never, ever, ever give in and give up. Guys, I think I've said enough, Randolph, and I hope that the little bit that I've said today will help us on our journey to the next level. that it will strengthen you, that you will not just stand in the sector of your territory feeling that you are alone, but that you are enjoined in the heart with others, that you are not alone, but that you are enjoined, even though you can't see the brothers, even though you can't touch them physically, but in the spirit, our hearts are woven with you. Amen. God bless.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sean. Well, as you can hear, Sean is loaded with revelation, and we actually need a series, not an event. So we will engage Sean further, whereby he can speak to us. So, but thank you so much for the perspectives that you have given on what is God doing in the earth today by his permittance of this particular pandemic. And I know, like it was always said, it has much to do with a divine judgment upon systems on the earth, but as well to as on inaccuracies within the current church. And I think it's incumbent upon us all, those of us who are consistently hearing these things, to do some personal and corporate evaluation and allow God to spotlight areas that need adjustment, things that we need to move away from, and embracing a whole brand new ethos, way of life, based upon prophetic sight, based upon what we see of God's doings in the future. Crises of this nature and other crises of varied nature, I think, are going to escalate in the coming years to come. And God is giving us a preview of things to come. But so before the next wave of this current pandemic hits, or the next cycle of other similar and varied crises hit the earth, my challenge to all of us is we ought to be far better prepared for the next engagement of global crises than we were for this one. By the next phase, we should have put every department and aspect of our personal and ministry lives in proper order. Not just to survive crises, but to be used by the Lord as instruments in and through which God's purposes might be transmitted to people in our generation, or people that perhaps were far less prepared to engage crises of varied nature. So you must not build in crisis. You must build for crisis. You cannot start building your ark when the rain is falling. You would have had to have built way before the initialization of a wave of crises. So as Sean was speaking, this is what I'm hearing the Lord saying. Give more proper focus to the things I call you to do, because what you do now is going to save you later. What Moses did in his time was his immunity for when the rain fell. And to be a standard in the earth, sorry, not Moses, Noah, to be a standard in the earth like we have not seen before. So these words come to us, and notice the nature of the prophetic that Sean represents is not just prophesy over me, bless me, forecast my destiny, tell me what God is saying to me personally. There's a new expression of the prophetic into which we are maneuvering, and it's got to do with tweaking the architecture of the houses of God, the building programs. How do we build the image of Christ within the sons of God? And it's these things that will give us immunity and prosperity, I believe, in the midst of global calamity. And so, thank you so much, Sean, for these words that you have spoken to our hearts. It comes as warnings. It comes as aspects of doctrine to sober us up. There should be a greater sobriety, a greater mindset, a more balanced equilibrium mindset by which we traverse into our future going forward. Even though crises will deepen, the grace of God in those that were compliant to his word will be far more abundant. And I believe that this particular global family is poised to play a very, very key role. So I really want to ask all of us, you need to jot down, what things have you learned in this crisis that God has put his spotlight on? What have been the strengths of your ministry? What have been weaknesses, if any, that God has highlighted? Are there inaccuracies that have come to the fore? Are there illegal positions that you must depart from and move away from? What positions in you will compromise you in the next phase of crises? How prepared will we as a community be when God deepens crises in the earth going forward? And so these kinds of evaluative questions are very, very important for us, you and I, to prosecute internally within our lives. You all have communion. You're breaking of bread. I'm going to ask Boniface to say a few words and then to pray for us and to lead us as we break bread as a family together. Thanks, Boniface. Boniface is from Kericho, Kenya.
Right. I really want to appreciate Dr. Sean for the word, and also on behalf of everyone, we just want to say thank you so much for allowing yourself to be used of the Lord to speak to us the mind of God. This is interesting because the word that I prepared to read is in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1, which says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and lifted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What I want to say is exactly what we've heard. We must be informed by a heavenly standard as we move forward. We must be informed by something that is stable, because we know that there is stability in the of the structure. And prayer is that even as a household, the word that we have had, may it inform our perspective, the way that we're going to build going forward, the way that we're going to both, like we've had on a personal level and even on a corporate level, may we be informed by higher dimension. Because interestingly, it's just like the times you're living in. Isaiah sees, is in a moment of a crisis because Uzziah happens to be a personal friend of his who dies. And we all know that from scripture, that the exploits that King Uzziah did, he's one of the guys who really brought Israel a lot of profit economically, established the nation. And when he dies, in that moment of crisis, what informs Isaiah is not the death. What informs him is he sees another perspective, a heavenly perspective. Even as we break bread and as we look forward to greater sights of Christ, greater sights of what God is saying, it is my prayer that God is going to galvanize this word in our hearts. Is this word is going to encapsulate our households, our families, our children, and everyone else. And just like we've heard, the issues of consecration, it is my prayer that they're really going to put much effort and desire and even be accountable to one another. One of the things that I really look forward for, even within us as a family, is to be accountable to each other. Begin to reach out to one another in terms of accountability, because I know as we move forward, also pressure is going to mount. Mockery is going to be even more audible and maybe more visible. It's my prayer that each one of us will just find a way to reach out to one another and also reach out to our spiritual father. And so, I'd just like you to take the emblem, the emblems that we have as a representation of the body and of the blood of Jesus. And I just want you to speak a word before we partake. Speak a word over your household, your immediate family, and even over us as a global family, and even other families that are out there propagating the same truth. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Honor you, Lord, for your word. pray, God, that minister to us, God, even as we partake of this bread, let it bring life to us. Let it bring hope. Let there be a galvanization of our relationships, which is going to cause there to be immunity among us and hope among us, and even a clear sighting of where you are taking us into. We thank you. We bless your name. Just want everyone, wherever you are, let's just partake of the body and the blood. We are blessed of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Boniface. Amen. One of the key principles that we must master within our movements going forward is corporiety, communality, the whole element of communism, as Dr. Segi would call it, but that we belong to a bigger whole. And I'm glad Boniface referenced it in his administration of the table of the Lord to us today, and that we belong, as Sean said, to a very, very powerful family that God is raising in the earth today. But we must abide by the same standard, the banner over our family. And one of the core facets is relationships, reconciliation with brothers, the love that we have one for the other, mutual accountability, transparency, our strength in doctrine, our strength in apostolic doctrine. And our household is a very prophetic household as well globally. We are very strong in the teaching dynamic as well. So I just want to remind us all that you must never feel alone. You always have brothers upon which you may call. Many of you, for example, on this platform relate to Joseph as a father. Joseph relates to me as a father. I relate to Pastor Thamo as a spiritual father in Christ. But although we have these sort of lines of accountability, we also can talk to each other. You have brothers in the family. There's Sean, who is your brother in Christ, building within the same grace configuration under Pastor Thamo's leadership. Amen. And so it's just wonderful to meet in this fashion. And so this meeting was recorded. It is being recorded. By tomorrow, the audio of this meeting will be on my website. I'm creating a new tab on the website called Apostolic. You'll see it there. And so if you want to access this recording and listen to it again, which I will greatly encourage you, because as you can hear, Sean is like a machine gun. Okay. he just mows down truth. Okay. And so it's the very nature of prophet. You know, the Hebrew word naba means to just let it spew forth or spill forth. And so a lot has been said in a very short space of time. I will greatly encourage you. I will share the link on the WhatsApp group. And so that'll be up by tomorrow. In fact, by this evening, it should be there, but definitely by tomorrow. And you can access the audio, listen to it, make your notes. You know, important to sessions like this is the whole idea of rehearsal. Rehear. Even the word rehearse is, the root word is listen again. Because I'm finding, especially in COVID, there's a lot of platforms saying so many things. There's literally an overload of information. But you've got to be very clinical and decisive as to what you would permit your ears to hear. Now, words like this will give you structure, will give you architecture for the way forward, and will keep you on the safe zone, within the safe zone. And so I want to encourage you to please consult that once it is up